Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. We're going to work out some things here in the studio. I'll be with you in a minute. Oh my goodness. Our audio library is gone. Well, we'll do something else here. I will introduce and explain why this is happening right now. I've done this literally for years. Let's see what we can do. I'm looking. Let's see if I can get a song to come up now. I want to say that this is the last thing I thought I'd be doing until last night. And not to put a sense of urgency on it for that reason, although it is somewhat urgent, but this is in part an obedience thing. I am not trying to get wide coverage here because the point is to speak the word. I have a word that was given a year ago. It's a one-year anniversary of a word that I was given that I'd been really forgotten about, but I'd forgotten about the timing and some other things that went along with it. There were other things that weren't exactly 1 year anniversary that came up here this week. And the sorry, I'm extremely tired. I worked really hard today. And I was not, as he's often has done heavy duty, he's got me depleted while I deliver a message almost impromptu. And this is, I just got a rough idea of what I'm to do here. And this is serious. But if you know us from the past, and God does have a sense of humor, and so this is going to be a mixture of sentiment and the messages of a very serious word, which is a message to the world. And I'm going to preface that with just a fairly brief description of what been going on before that, and I also want to reconnect with what I think so many people have been just that lots of believers have been going through a lot beyond just the recent signs of the times and whatever. When you're in company with the Spirit of God and you're a servant, things are put on you that people who live in the world are not in the frequent habit of praying and hearing him. It's a little bit different. And so that's okay. We're not all called to the same thing. And even if we were called. So this is a lead-in song that I would often play at the as over the last year or so, and use this time, frankly, to look for a different song that I think I also played a few times because, but it's you know, it's one thing to either say you're a Christian or to say you're a believer, because a lot of people who say they're Christians are not believers in Jesus and his sacrifice and his gift. But, you know, I was prompted to put love in the topic line here. And I see this song. I'm going to play this. I'm going to play this, and then I'm going to play one, and I'll come back here and explain a little bit more. But all I want to say is, you know, there's a difference between believing in Jesus and following Jesus. And Jesus acquired his apostles, his disciples, and started his ministry by encountering them and saying, follow me. And he told many people to follow him. Not all of them did. And when he said, follow me, he meant literally at the time. And you know, ultimately, he went to the cross. And accordingly, Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Now, he said, pick up your cross. Don't pick up my cross. Pick up your cross. And so we are each called to certain burdens, certain experiences. And if you are not doing any good for him in the world, then the world will do good for you. But if you are doing good for him in the world, existence, our successes can't be measured in worldly terms. Let's put it in that way. So, the more intensely you've been called or have followed him, the more intensely you've experienced a whole range of things. And I'm going to mention a few of those things on my account. I don't think I'll get too specific, but I want to mention that because I want to connect. I want to give everyone, anyone who hears this, an opportunity to connect in their own experience. And I'm not going to do that now. I'm going to play this song now. But remember, the center of this, the center of everything, is that God is love. But every parent, in their greatest love, has a job to do that's not always the most pleasing. And we are having to, pardon my background noise, we are having to grow up. Life on Earth is about growing up. And not only growing up, but also making an investment in his ways and his plan and setting examples for others. And so essentially you could say that it's, we start out as children and we are supposed to keep our childlike faith, but at the same time, we're supposed to grow up and become more responsible from a spiritual and a godly point of view not in the sense of rules and regulations, but in the sense of seeking him, following him, and investing in eternity in a way that, frankly, most people don't. And it doesn't matter whether they're Christians or not, or call themselves Christians. It doesn't matter where you go to church. In fact, the churches are a problem. Many people who have regular interaction with the Father through the Holy Spirit are definitely led to leave the organized church because the overwhelming majority of them are corrupted in their leadership. Certainly the doctrines, the way that preachers, the teachers, the pastors are taught, there's deep compromise in all that. Well, okay, so love is the center of all these things. And so there's some difficult topics that we have to address. But in the end, Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. We're to live in the hope of his love, because that's really the core of the hope, right? If he wasn't a loving God, if he didn't have a plan in the spite of the difficulties on this earth, you know, our hope is not only that he is powerful and is faithful to the followers of Jesus, but also those who seek the will and the heart of the Father, like David, that in spite of whatever the difficulties are, and in spite of the fact that we are tested, sometimes not because we've been failing, sometimes we're tested because we've succeeded. That's a message we should hear more often in the church, but we don't. And sometimes you're tested because you succeeded. Sometimes you're chastised. In either case, the point is that our hope rests not only in our faith and the covenant of faith that God has enacted with humanity, but also because we trust that he's ultimately a loving God. And so here's our song.
going a long, long way.
Okay, so next song, more of an intro song. Turned in Vernon. That's what we're doing right now. And frankly, I don't really know how well this is going to go, but I haven't even been able to do my sound checks. But I'm going to trust this is going. It doesn't. And dry run on what I have to do again tomorrow. Where to start? Okay, so follow me is an essential element for a lot of us in our call and our walk. I'm going to talk in biblical terms, but I'm not going to press religious doctrine try to speak particularly in a religious vocabulary. I think I just want to make some points here as he's led me to them. And this is going to be a little bit rambling here in the beginning because there's a few things that have come up over time that I want to address, and which is to say that he's leading me to address. They're all part of what have brought me to do this, to post this here, ultimately the message and the word that he gave me. So another thing that that I've been led to, which is fundamental to all of our existence, literally, is why are we here? What is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of our existence here on the earth? Your spiritual beings contained in fleshly bodies. You can reference a lot more of that with Jonathan Cleck and his messaging, because he's correct in what he sees. His messages are tailored specifically to a certain thing. He doesn't cover every aspect. He intensely covers the messaging system of the enemy and the way that it relates to us, and he's got a lot of good biblical insights. And yes, I believe they're divinely inspired. So, but that's the point is, truth is truth. And it will stand on its own if given a chance. So the purpose of life, why are we here? Not how did we get here, but what is it we're to accomplish when we're being here? And he allowed me to understand that in a nutshell, we are here to make an offering to God. If you want to boil everything that's biblical down, Old Testament, New Testament, or even if you want to reflect on certain other religions, Our purpose in existence, although the religions are the teaching, is a problem. But we're here to make an offering to God. It can be worship. It can be listening for him. It can be seeking him. Any obeisance, any attempt to connect with him, his will, understanding him, or to do his will, is part of our reason for existence. But ultimately, in a nutshell, in a simple word, we are here to make an offering to him. Cain and Abel made offerings to God. One was accepted, one was rejected. Even before the patriarchs, people were making ritual sacrifice. Now, a lot of that ritual sacrifice is satanic. It's from the adversary. But God also recognized and received certain kinds of sacrifices, of like animal sacrifices or grain offerings. Those things were, you would take, and you were supposed to take the best of what you had, or in the case of the grain offerings, often the first of what you had, or the same way with the tithe. You take the first of what you have, and that first portion goes to the Father in his work. So on earth, that's his house. In Judaism, it's the priesthood. It can be, you know, acts of charity, mercy, what have you. And that nicely leads me into, if you want to understand even in the most ancient of times, it is very clearly spelled out in Isaiah, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And that mercy and sacrifice are, and mercy as opposed to sacrifice. And he was saying this. This is the word of the Lord through Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was before Jeremiah. Isaiah was one of the earlier prophets. Even before then, God had indicated, but by the time of Isaiah, he was telling the Israelites, who were wrapped up in the religious services, making ritual sacrifice, which God was still accepting. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And that is a twofold function. First of all, it shows that you understand he's expressing his heart. Okay, the Father's expressing his heart that he would rather have mercy between people rather than sacrifice and, among other things, a mindless obedience to a list of rules. Those rules can be the law. They can be the Ten Commandments. They can be, or all the other, as the Jews say, mitzvot, all the other rules, 616 rules, plus everything else that's from that point on, the Sadducees and the Pharisees came to implement on the people. And this is also true for the other religions, okay? So love and mercy go together, and together, essentially, they form grace, okay? Jesus exemplified this to the woman caught in adultery. She was trapped, and she was trapped specifically to test Jesus and to put him on the spot. But nevertheless, his instruction to her was go and sin no more. And before that, it was where your accusers, because he had found a way to touch the minds and hearts of all the people who are accusing him and highlight that they were flawed in their own existence and that they had no right to exercise the edict of the law, which was to stone her to death. Okay? So the mercy is what Jesus showed. He said he forgave her sin and just said, go sin no more. It's grace. So if you don't get wrapped up in doctrine and a lot of extraordinary detail and think of it in simple daily behavior terms, it's a lot easier to receive love and mercy and grace. And Jesus said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For the record, not only did Jesus emphasize this, and did it begin to be taught through Isaiah, who was one of the earlier prophets, good true prophets to Israel. But in addition to that, David, whom God commended for his heart towards him, towards God, David wrote in the Psalms this very same thing. And so I'm bringing this out now in the context of what some people are trying to bring in the world right now. There will be various names for it, but ultimately, while the Ten Commandments were from God, Jesus offered a new commandment, and that is the new covenant. And basically, it was love your brother as yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. And all the other commandments are wrapped up into those. You know, and love God. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And those were his commandments. But he went even farther than that because people asked him, okay, so what is the work? And he said, your work is to believe in me. Or to believe in the love of the Father, which is he exemplified. That's the work. So, you know, faith without works is dead. And yeah, it is. But the work Jesus prescribed was simply to believe. And the commandment Jesus prescribed was simply to love God and love your brother or neighbor as you love yourself. That's it. And any other imposition of rules or laws, I mean, obviously there's moral behavior. Our responsibility and our faith walk are that's the sum total of it. Except as we develop a relationship and are led individually by him. But if any important moment you turn to God and seek guidance, if you've developed that relationship, he's with you. And in fact, many times you're going to do what he wants you to do before you have a chance to think about it. Before I even developed my the knowledge of Christianity and biblical knowledge and what have you, I knew and this is just me personally, but in my case, growing up, I knew there was, I had a conscience, and that conscience was a guide for me. And when I came to know him more formally, more clearly through Jesus Christ the Gospels and all the biblical scriptures, and then ultimately in prayer and hearing the Spirit of God. But as I came to know him, I began to recognize in retrospect how he'd been working in my life, which I kind of knew, but I didn't know how to label it. And I also came to understand I didn't have to seek him for direction every time I turned around, that if my heart was toward him and I had an appropriate state of mind as I was going about my activities, that he would work through me. It can be awkward. Sometimes it can be irreligious. Okay. But the point is, he's with us and with you. Now, this is a broad overview of just our existence in Christ, which is the anointing of the Spirit, and it's essential to carry on as we have. Now, So why is this happening? Why am I here? Why am I doing this now? After literally the last time I think I did a show, if I saw it right, was the 9th of July. And a show, a service. The point is, I'm speaking at the prompting of the Lord and through the Spirit, and doing my best in my depleted condition, which is a normal thing for me if you've heard me before. He often causes me to do this without a lot of preparation. Instead of preparing everything and making a very thoughtful, whatever, polished presentation, he often, we go raw. This is raw. This is, I don't even have notes. I thought about doing notes, but we're doing this. Not off the top of my head entirely, because I did think about this a little last night when I went to bed. He told me to do this. And what brought it up was that I knew I had a word from him that from a year ago. He brought it back to mind, and then I started looking at that, and I found something else that came up exactly from a year ago this week, where he gave me 10 signs for 10 days, and he told me he would meet me at the 10th sign. That 10th sign was delivered by somebody who had a YouTube channel who I had done some corresponding with, who I know was being led in the Lord. But, you know, when we're led in the Lord, especially if it's new to us, or he does have a tendency to like to throw us into the deep end, because that way what comes through is not our guarded self-consciousness. It's just whatever's raw and what have you. So a lot of times when you're really spontaneous and he asks you to be, it feels like a high wire act. And this person, this woman was, I corresponded with her some, and several other people, by the way. It's not like I haven't, you know, I've done this a long time, and praise God, you know, there's a lot of people out there strongly led by the Lord, and at various moments and various topics, he's caused me to connect with them. But in this particular case, this woman put up on the 10th day, the 10th clue, which is a direct connection of something he privately had me studying, and it had to do with the menorah. And in her perspective, it was Shavuot, the new year for trees, which is, begins with the blossoming of the almond trees. And she had an illustration of a menorah, and she had some music that connected. And I don't think she had it. There's no way she had any idea. And I had not shared publicly at all this little quest that I'd been on for, up to that point, almost a whole year. So it was started about 2 years ago. And that's a private thing between he and I. But I can easily tell you that it has to do with, it did have literally to do with the original menorah, the original menorah for the tabernacle and the earliest original manuscripts. And even the Ark of the Covenant. And he had me, essentially gave me a tremendous history lesson and led me through a series of clues and had me studying disparate sources and very surprising clues. Anyway, the music connected with that, the menorah connected with that, and of course, the buds on the menorah represent almond blossoms. And, of course, the priesthood of Aaron was initiated by his walking stick being an almond branch that blossomed, even though it was cut apart from the tree. And so this had come and gone a year ago. I'm not going to go into all the clues, but I did have a couple of things I was going to scan as I spoke here. And I just, he gave me on the 25th of January, last year. Let me go chronologically here. The word I got was on the 25th of January, but just before that, but in January, I got this clue, and it started with the number 450, which was given in a speech Donald Trump made at the border. He talked about 450 miles of the border wall and so on. Well, you'd have to know the whole history of things we've done, but Elijah is intimately involved here. And it started on the 12th of January, and then he gave me 10 days. And really, for a while, I was getting more than one clue a day. But I think that was to draw my attention and assure me, because it wasn't until about 5 days later that I actually realized what was happening. And then he gave me greater understanding. But the long and the short of it is, I was looking for 10 clues in 10 days, and I started documenting it around the 17th. But it started with that Trump speech, which really caught my attention. There were other things about it, not because it's Trump, by the way, but it was because of the 450, the mention of 450. And in part on that day, the 12th of January. And then I kept getting all these additional things, and they one thing after the other. And so ultimately I made a note when I started to document this. And I get so much stuff that I don't document most of it, but I really hadn't been getting a lot of hardcore clues. I haven't really been chasing dates for a long time, not because I think it's wrong. And oh, by the way, let me make a quick point there. The scripture says that, no verse is of private interpretation. And what that means is no single verse of scripture is to be taken on its own without considering the context and the support of other scriptures, for example, if there's other scriptures that say essentially the same thing, which gives it more power. And so there's essentially one scripture that says, there's two really. There's one in the Old Testament about the day of the Lord, and then in the New Testament there's one that says, do not, it was in Matthew 24, only the Father knows the day and the hour. Well, Matthew 24 was fulfilled entirely in 70 AD. That doesn't mean the sense of it could not repeat in the end times, but it was, in fact, fulfilled in 70 AD, and that's why he said that generation shall not pass, the one he was physically speaking to in the street at that time, and they didn't 40 years later. From that time is when Jerusalem was just overcome and essentially in the temple destroyed by Titus. And, of course, that was the second temple. God's presence, by the way, was never in that temple. And that time was also essential because that year marked the end of Torah Judaism. In the beginning of Rabbinic Judaism. And it is at that time, one of the priests who, quote unquote, miraculously escaped the Romans and the siege of Jerusalem, went to the coastland and set up with some other rabbis the Rabbinic priesthood. And it's from that point on, they have emphasized commentaries of the rabbis on Scripture rather than teaching Scripture directly to the people. And it has a very... It's extremely similar to what the Catholic Church and other forms of Christianity have done subsequently, the focus on commentaries over direct understanding of Scripture. And so this is where a lot of error has come in. Not that some commentaries can't be good, but when you begin to, you should always say to yourself, why should I consider what this guy says about this? If I'm a believer and I have the Holy Spirit, why shouldn't I be going to the Scripture itself and begin my journey of investigation? Sometimes you have to go beyond the surface because the translations vary and are sometimes deliberately fudged with. But the point is, that's where you start, and the Holy Spirit will lead you to understanding and inquiry and what have you. Anyway, so I made this note here, and he says, he tells me, and he did tell me, he tells me he will meet me at the 10th clue when it comes. Well, the 10th clue was on the 10th day, and let's see, got to scroll here through a document, which is actually quite long. Okay, so this woman on the 21st of, on 121, the 21st in 2021. So 121-21, this woman posted a video. She's no longer posting videos. She closed her channel down, and I don't know if she started up again, but she had some life changes, and I think it was, she had other responsibilities. But anyway, her understanding was that the Lord's calendar started because of Tu B'Shvat, because of the new year for trees. She was saying that at least in a certain way, there are four new years in the Jewish calendar, the way the Jews look at it. And one of the new years is Tu B'Shvat, the new year for trees. And that year, which is last year, it was on the 28th of January. And she referenced this and the almond blossoms and what have you. So surprisingly to us in this part of the world, or even anywhere in North America probably, the almond trees start to blossom in Israel as early as late January, and then continue really, I think, for about 3 months. And so depending on what region you're in, you can see a field full of almond blossoms. Some of the other themes she had in there, unbeknownst to her, were really, really strong connections to things I'd been led to, and let's just say it relates to Jeremiah and the menorah, and how he fled Jerusalem at the time that Babylon was taken over by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so that was the 10th clue on the 10th day. And, well, here's the thing. Literally, exactly 1 year later, and it began the week before, but I'm not going to go into all the details. Let's just suffice it to say I was reminded of the 450, and then I noticed on Friday, the 21st, that the market had begun its eventual larger crash, and that it was down 450.02. Well, that really caught my attention because of the 450. And then when I went back to this document the other day that I'm looking at right now, there was a quote in it where I wrote, this is in regards to Elijah, because Elijah had patterns of 50 that added up to 150, then 300 like Gideon. But ultimately, there was a 450. And my comment in the document, as I was going through these 10 days a year ago, and one of the quotes is, the 450 was realized, and Elijah also had another 450 too, actually. That's what I wrote a year ago. And then in this period of 10 days. And then my attention was drawn on the 21st to it was down. The market was down. So he gave me a word, and I think I need to move on to that. He gave me a word on the 25th. A lot of it was personal. It had to do with what I had been through. I think as difficult as these times have been for many people, and of course tragic for some, especially in certain parts of the world, I think as believers walking in the Spirit, we probably have carried a little extra burden, have placed his burden on us and help us share his love. As believers, we're heirs, and as heirs, we're family members, and as family members or even friends, we support him in part by carrying this load, this emotional and spiritual load of difficulty that people of faith go through. And so some of that, some of us are blessed with the a little extra burden along those lines, not because we're necessarily, our hearts are all wrenching, but because he'll, in my case, he'll just, you know, there are days when I just, I wake up and I just feel it. And first of all, I think it's my emotion. Then I realize, wait a minute, there's nothing, I have nothing in my mind that's relating to this emotion. Or if it is, it's disproportionate. Something, there's something more here. And then I have to go work through it for a while. Eventually, on some of these occasions, he'll give me the understanding, yeah, this is me. I'm putting this on you for today. You're helping me carry this. So I know many other people have that. If you're paying attention in your walk, you've experienced this. You don't. If you haven't, that's fine. But it's not about prestige. It's simply one of the ways we believe and we follow and we experience in faith his spirit. Okay, so there is this word is a word of finality, and ultimately he had me prepared to send this word out to friends, to my friends, basically. And interestingly, there is this is somewhat related, including in my experience this week, to two passages in Zechariah in chapter 1 and then chapter 13. And in chapter 13, there's a reference to friends. Friends can be loved ones. The actual meaning of the Hebrew word is loved ones, and in many respects, it means neighbor. And of course, the neighbors, and Zechariah is primarily written to Jerusalem and Judah. So their neighbors were the Samaritans and the other tribes to the north. Okay, so I'm going to go here and give you this word. I'm going to read it twice. And I need to check something here because this is going to go pretty fast. Sorry for my relaxed nature. Anyway, so here is, I'm just tired. This was a word of acknowledgement of the duress that I'd been experiencing. And by the way, since then, I've been through just a huge whirlwind of turmoil, which we also began about this time. There were some good things, very positive things. There were also some horribly negative things that were shocking to have to go through after everything else had gone through that. And I'm still sad about it. But that doesn't make me unique. It just sets the stage for this. And so he gave me this word and has brought it back full circle to me. And so here we have the word that was for public, and he told me to share it then, and he sort of tested me, and he made me think that I want you to send it out to everybody in your email list. Well, you know, I've been around a while, and I've existed in many different multifaceted life, let's put it that way. And I still have some things I need to do in certain environments there that this would make it really awkward. But anyway, and so that it turned out that it was kind of a test, and he was beginning to transition me and maybe a few other people I know into a little more self-responsibility instead of just doing what he directed me to do. And this is a hard thing to understand, but basically use a little more individual discretion. Anyway, when it was all said and done, he said, no, I don't really want you to send that out, but I wanted you to go through the process. And basically we needed to talk about it. But now is the time to share this word. And so the word is this. He started out, now I have, in the middle of this word to me, he says, now I have a word for the world. I want you to deliver it, the word. A message to the worldly people, outside of time and season, I am. With every dismissal and denial in your hearts, I grow. I grow in you because I cannot come through you. I will burst out now and consume that which opposes me, says the I am. The flow of my goodness will overtop the dam of your wickedness. This is the panic of death you feel. It is the death of wickedness and willful disobedience. There are none left to blame. You are alone and exposed as culpable. You swing at your own shadow. You cry out to the echo of your own voice. How does it feel, Beelzebub? There are none but you to accuse. This is the word of the Lord, the Tetragrammaton, the true maker of all things. Now I'm going to read this one more time and then a brief explanation and close. Now I have a word for the world. I want you to deliver it, the word. A message to the worldly people. Outside of time and season, I am. With every dismissal and denial in your hearts, I grow. I grow in you because I cannot come through you. I will burst out now and consume that which opposes me, says the I am. The flow of my goodness will overtop the dam of your wickedness. This is the panic of death you feel. It is the death of wickedness and willful disobedience. There are none left to blame. You are alone and exposed as culpable. You swing at your own shadow. You cry out to the echo of your own voice. How does it feel, Beelzebub? There are none but you to accuse. This is the word of the Lord, the Tetragrammaton, the true maker of all things. So now there also was a component here for the godly people, and this was not the word specifically he asked me to share, but it's fine to share here. In this time and season, come to me, you who listen to my voice, come. We say to each other, come, let us see each other for a time that the world will endure our absence. Ha ha, a release from their trouble. Come to me, my bride. Come to me, my wife. Come, all the guests. A party at my house. My house is peace. You are my loving God. So this is me asking him, okay, just identify yourself one more time. He says, I am your loving God. That is who I am. So then he went on to say, it is hard work to love a disobedient and broken people. This will be my rest when the separation becomes real and I can tend only the willing. So you see, rest for God comes when he can remove his presence from the earth and the people who are being willfully disobedient. That's his rest, because it won't be work for him to have fellowship with those who seek him and regard him. So that would be his rest. We get rest with him, but he gets rest with us. So this is a precursor to the separation. Is absolutely directly related to the D-Day of the Lord. I'm no longer in a frame of mind where I think we're looking at 3.5 years or 7 years. I think there could be an ensuing time period, year and a half, who knows, whatever. But the thing is, in the end, so much has been going on now. It's real. Even though the people who are in charge seem to be ungodly, they are doing the Lord's will. Father God created this situation thousands of years ago where the people who were running the earth were not the godly people. And there's reasons for that. This is not the time to go into it. But they are doing his will, just like Syria did his will with Israel and Babylon did his will with Israel. These globalist elites, whatever, in their delusions are doing his will. And as a confirmation to this entire word, this phrase, the flow of my goodness will overtop the dam of your wickedness. Exactly a month later, on July 19th, and then for the next few days, 6 months later, in July, they were having massive flooding, and literally the water behind the dams was overtopping the dams. Even the same language was overtopping the dams in China and washing the dams out, and people were being flooded in the subways in nearby cities. And there's at least one city where many people died in the subway. They drowned underground because of the flooding. So this is, it was absolutely, I was stunned when I realized this. I read the articles. But anyway, so this is the time where things are coming around. I'm not saying this day, what have you, but I do know I've been pointed specifically to this week. I was pointed to this week a year ago. Now, this week may simply be the day, the time to deliver this message. I don't completely know. Do I expect more? A little bit, but we've been here so much longer than we ever imagined that delay doesn't shock me anymore. I've got a few seconds here, and I just want to say that this is the time to take these things seriously. It is also the time to receive joy in the times of trouble, because he is working, he is in this, and the way that he's illustrated and brought all of this back to me this week, just like my 10 clues for 10 days, he's also powerfully brought this back up and has shared, had me share it here in this circumstance. I probably will share this link with some people, but anyway, God bless you all. He is love, but he's also solving the problems of the world. In Jesus' name, be loved, be in joy, and we should see each other soon. Amen.